It's important that we understand when we sing that song as to what is understood and inferred by over there. Because there will be at least two over there, will be at least two theirs, two places to go. And you won't be happy if you go to that other place over there, over that there. Good morning, and we're delighted to see all who've come here today to worship God in spirit and in truth. Truth. The Bible encourages us with statements like, make your calling and election sure. The one thing you want to be sure about is, what would God have me to do to become an adopted child of His? Ladies and gentlemen, it's a sure thing that we're not going to live on planet Earth forever. There is coming a day, we know not when there will be no planet of Earth. But there will never be a time, never, when human beings do not exist. Humans will always exist somewhere. Every human being that is ever born will always exist somewhere. Now, in eternity, there are only two addresses, and both of them start with an H. But if you can spell it quick, you don't want to go there. Heaven and hell. Don't be too busy. Don't be too busy to get biblical information. Directly from the Father in His book called the Bible, that shares with humans what it's going to be like in both places. It is more than what we can read, but He has given us enough to read, to know. Now, God does not make us, even though He created humans, He does not make human beings obey His will. Choice is ours. To obey, do what He wants us to do, live like He wants us to live. And He wanted it so much that He was willing to sacrifice His Son. His absence from heaven came down to earth to live and to die a sacrificial death, putting on the filthy rags for human sin, that they might be saved. We have the audacity. When I say we, I mean we as human beings. We have the audacity to read the Bible. And that's a good thing. But don't try to add to it or take from it. God said what He said, and He said what He meant, and He meant what He said. Read it. Believe it, study it, obey it. There is no other book on planet Earth that compares to the Bible, that tells us what life is like here and what life will be after we put off this form that we can look at when we look in a mirror. God prepared this. This is the form that God prepared for us to live on planet Earth. Your parents, your mother gave birth. That was the form that God gave you for this, here. The body that we will have in eternity will be an everlasting body. We will always have a body when God decides that we're going to have a body. And that body will be an everlasting body. Turn in your Bible for a moment to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. You know, we say a lot of things, but if God's word does not corroborate them, if God doesn't back up what you say, if God's word does not back up what you believe or believe in, why do you hold on to it? Going to glory, knowing that God has kept a record on all of us, knowing that God has given us a record while we lived on earth. And what we decide to do is contrary to what's written in this grand old book called the Bible. Here in Revelation chapter 20. Well, we got one or two there, so let's go. Verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night for 6 months. It's not in your Bible, is it? Tormented day and night forever and ever. And remember that. Tormented day and night forever. Now let's keep reading. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. So we are all going to stand before God one day. And I also saw books were open, plural, and another book, singular, was open, which is the book of life. And that's what we're reading right now, the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. According, each person is going to be judged by God according to how we live our life, how we have lived our life on planet Earth, according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. What does that say? That says that God has a record of how we lived our life on planet Earth. We can't fool God. Death and hell, all that was unrighteous, all that was evil, were cast into the lake of fire. It's called what? The second death. Separation from God. Notice 15. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life. What happened to them? Cast into the lake of fire. There was no negotiation. There was no question and answer period. No question and answer time. Cast into the lake of fire. Lord, help us. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now listen to that. Now what he's talking about is the Lord's church on planet Earth. Jesus only has one wife. Not a whole heap. Just one wife. You remember when Jesus rose from the grave, he met with his apostles. For those of you taking notes, the last chapter of the book of Matthew and the last three or four verses, he was meet with his apostles. Remember that. Matthew 28. And I will read that momentarily. And I heard the great verse 3. That's in chapter 1. Let's go back to chapter 20. Let's go back to chapter 20. Start again with verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. This book is going to be opened at the judgment, God's book, and the diary that God keeps on every human being. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, plural, according to their works. What does that say? God keeps a record on us. Every day, wherever we go, whatever we do, and however we talk. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is called the second death. 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The operative word here, the two operative words here, is fire and eternity. Forever. Here we disobey God. We're sorry about that. Openly and publicly. Then we come and ask the church to pray for our forgiveness. There will be no opportunity for that at the judgment day. Therefore, since this is the book that's going to be opened at judgment, and our lives on the books that God keeps must coincide with what His book says, wisdom says, study this book. Know what it has to say. Do what it says God wants one to do. Getting angry won't change that. Getting upset won't change that. What you may or may have believed, if it's different, won't change what's written. You want to know what the Bible says. Please, take the time to study the Bible. The Bible talks about one Lord, one faith, one baptism. The gospel was preached for the very first time. In what city? In Jerusalem. What time did the sermon start? 9 o'clock in the morning. That's in your Bible, in Acts chapter 2. Who preached it? The Apostle Peter preached it. By what power? Power of the Holy Spirit. They began to speak as the Spirit gave them the words. That's in the chapter. So if the Bible, what the Bible says is going to face us here and at the judgment, Wisdom says, know what the Bible says, do what the Bible says, and that way I'll be safe at the judgment. Ain't that good news? Now, let's preach the sermon here. Watch now. Remember, he's keeping a record on us. Faith makes the difference. Faith makes the difference. If you can't believe it, don't receive it. If you can't believe it, don't receive it. Your soul is at stake. Dr. So-and-so said it. If you can't read it, if Dr. Jesus didn't say it, don't believe it. Don't accept it. Faith enables the faithful Christian, the believing soul, to treat the future as the present and the invisible, bringing the future into the presence when we read God's holy book, the Bible. Faith is proof of things not seen, the evidence also of things not seen. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. But in order to have faith, there has to be something to have faith in. You don't have faith in faith. Faith in what? Where did you read that? Where did you get that from? Faith is proof again of things not seen, but it is faith is the evidence that it exists. God gave witness. When we read, dash over to Hebrews chapter what? Hebrews chapter 11. Dash over to Hebrews chapter 11. God honors these people that we read about in Hebrews chapter 11. God gave witness to their faith. Faith in God is the inward conviction from God that what he has promised, he will perform. What he has promised, he will keep his word. True Bible faith is confident obedience to God, to God's word, in spite of circumstances, in spite of consequences. This faith operates quite simply. God speaks, we hear, we obey. Period. God said it, I heard it, or I read it, I believe it. But it's true either way. Even if we don't believe it, it's true, still true. Amen. If God said it. No matter what the circumstances might be, no matter what it might take of you, do what's necessary to be done to please God. Because anything or anybody else you displease, they're not going to be your judge at the judgment. God speaks and we hear and we obey. Period. We trust his word. We act upon his word, irrespective of the consequences. God, I said it. When God got ready to send his son to the earth, the Bible doesn't tell us about a conversation that he and his son may have had. But we know that his son came down from glory. And there is no inference that his son was displeased with his father's decision. So whether we get happy or whether we get upset regarding what God has required us to do in his Bible, that is of no consequence to God. What value is it to us to get upset about what we read?
We believe in most cases that it's the Word of God. So since it's the Word of God, why not, instead of getting upset, get right with God? Do that which is in favor with God. He's the last judge. And then he's the one that says, yonder you go. Here you come. Based upon the book that he keeps on us. He knows everybody to go to sleep when the preacher's preaching. I just thought I'd share that with you just so you know. Faith enables us to see what others cannot see. Hebrews chapter 11. Are you there? Look at verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Didn't know it, didn't see it, never heard of it. God said it, he believed it, and followed his instructions. It's amazing how often human beings, when you share with what they can read, because you have read it, and sometimes you can talk with people and they get upset. And you're sharing with them what's in the, if they have a Bible, what's in their Bible. That doesn't make any sense. Just because they're not doing it, and the Bible said do it, why are you getting upset? Seems like you would rejoice because I got it before I got the judgment. Lord help us. Faith enables us to do what others cannot do because we believe God. People laughed at those great people that we read about in Hebrews chapter 11 and many others. He laughed at these great men and women when they stepped forward, stepped out on faith. But God was with them. God enabled them to succeed to his glory. And he will do the same thing for us in the 21st century. Hebrews chapter 11 is devoted to a summary of the lives of some laborers, of great men and women who found faith in doing in the word and the will of God. They had the faith. Didn't understand it, but God said it. They believed it. It would still be true if we didn't believe it. But they heard it, they believed it, and they did it. Let us come to a point in our lives so that we are not so important and so smart that we're going to ask God why you did this. So you're going to go to the judgment, you don't like it, so you're going to go to the judgment and on judgment day that we just read about. And God said, depart from me. You say, why are you doing that, God? I don't think we're going to be able to stand that long in front of him to ask that question if we're not going to glory. Faith is only as good as its object, and the object of our faith is God. Put your confidence, put your faith in God. Again, faith is only as good as its object, and the object of our faith is who? God Almighty. Faith is not some feeling you're going to feel when you're about to feel a feeling you never felt before. It is about our total response to what God has revealed in his word. You say, well, I go here, there, and yon, and I hear this message, I hear that message, I listen to my radio, and I hear different preachers coming on saying different things, even hear ladies preachers coming on saying different things. What does the Bible say? That's the final answer. What does the Bible say? Because those books, we just read a few minutes ago, this is the book that that's going to be open at the judgment. My diary that God keeps and his book. So we need not worry about those other things. Three words in Hebrews chapter 11. Let's read verses 1, 2, and 3. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it The elders obtained a good report. Ah. So if you're faithful, you read the word, you hear the word, you believe it and obey it, you get a good report.
Yes, sir.
Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God just said the word, and there it was. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than his brother Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Why? Because he did what God said. God didn't say it, don't believe it. God didn't say it, don't do it. God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated. You remember Enoch? He was translated. Never died. God just decided one day he was out walking and, come on, Enoch, I want you up here with me. Mm-hmm. That kind of situation. Isn't that good news? By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony. You ready for it? He had this testimony with God. So the only testimony that we want with God is the same as Enoch. He pleased, that's in your Bible. He pleased, verse 5. He pleased God. That's the only testimony you want in your record that he's keeping. I lived in such a way that I pleased God. I did what I can read. Not what the mass was saying. I did what I could read in his book. And that's good enough for our Heavenly Father. Faith is only as good as its object. And the object of our faith is God. Faith is not, as I said heretofore, some kind of feeling that we manufacture. It is not it's not like the feeling of fear like you never felt before. That could be often, depending upon how often you get feelings. Faith is about our total response to what God has revealed in his word. There is no other place that human beings know about that compares with what God is planning and already planned and has already done in many cases. You remember Jesus said to his apostles, I believe it was in John chapter 14, I go to prepare a place for you. Nothing that humans can do compares to what God can do. Now I realize that you might be steadfast in where you do what you do. But please, for your sake, take the time to check what you believe. Check it out. Did the apostles preach it? Does the doctrine that they preach by the power of the Holy Spirit endorse what you practice, what you believe? Faith is to a Christian what a foundation is to a house. It gives confidence. It gives assurance that what you believe will stand in favor with God. So faith is the confidence of things hoped for, and it is the proof of things which we cannot see. So then, when a true believer has faith in God, it is God's way of giving him or her confidence and assurance that what is promised will be experienced. Too many people, and if it's even one, depend too much on how they feel and what they see others doing. Study for yourself. Study for yourself. And know the will of God. Because at the judgment, we just read Job, Revelation chapter 20. Going to be judged out of things that's written in God's book. There'll be no discussion. Well, the reason I didn't know, that's it. Know what God would have you to do on His earth, to come and live in His heaven with Him and His Son, the Holy Spirit, forever. Check behind all preachers. All preachers, teachers of the Bible. That includes me too. Check. Because you want to make your calling and election sure. Don't you decide. Don't you decide how you're going to live your life. You remember when God called on Noah? Noah was not a carpenter. The Bible does not indicate that Noah was a carpenter. But God called Noah because he was living a righteous life. And God called upon Noah to build an ark. Noah didn't argue with God. He just got busy getting the knowledge and the wisdom to know how to build an ark and build the ark. We don't question God. We obey God. Some of those who've gone before, heroes of the faith, we read about them in Hebrews chapter 11. We read about Moses, Joshua, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Rahab, Gideon, and many others. Faith is being sure. Faith is being certain because I have read it in God's holy book myself. We want always the approval of God. God doesn't want hard-headed. God doesn't plan to deal with hard heads in eternity. These believers, they suffered in pain, but they held fast to God's unchanging word. And the joy that was awaiting them by holding fast, being steadfast. Believers today still live with the unseen promise of Christ's return. It may be a challenge to our faith, but we believe it and we hold on to what God has said in His book, the Bible, that His Son is coming back. So whatever the case, whatever your situation, whatever your circumstance, I encourage you, hold on to God's unchanging word. And we sing the song, hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold on to God. Make heaven your eternal home of abode. You say, well, I see all these people going to all these different churches. You don't read about them. You read about one church in the Bible. One church. 12 apostles preached the same gospel. Every one of them preached the same thing. They established one church wherever they went. We've got a church just here, and a church just there, a church there, church everywhere, church. Ladies and gentlemen, as I close. If you don't have a Bible and you can't afford a Bible, you let me know. You let me know. And I'll check and make sure that you get a Bible. Heaven is wonderful. Hell is too hot, and you stay there too long. It's a forever sentence. In eternity, when you get a life sentence, it's forever. It never ends. Time, that's something that's on earth. Time didn't come into existence until Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning, time, God force, created action. Time is nothing in eternity. You don't come up and say, God, please forgive me. I'm sorry. I want to get out of hell. Serious business. You're going to make decisions and you don't bother to study the Word of God for yourself. You're making an eternal destiny decision. I'm going to do this the way it pleases me. Mm-mm. You don't have a heaven. You don't have a heaven. You want to please he who has a heaven. What do I need to do, preacher, to become a member of the church that I can read about in the Bible? By name, Romans 16:16. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. By name. No reverence. Gospel preachers. You've heard God's truth preach. And why do people become members of churches they can't even read about in the Bible? Why? You know who's going to be our judge. You've heard the Word of God. You've followed me in your Bible as we preach this morning. Believe it with all of your heart, which is faith, believing in Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins, being godly sorrowful for the life that you've lived to this point in your life. Acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and be buried in water baptism for the forgiveness of all of your past sins. Become a new creature in Christ Jesus. God then adopts you as his child. Amen. Ain't that good news? Amen. God adopts you as his child. Why? Because you've done what he said do. Prayer has nothing to do. There is not one person that the apostles ever told to pray that they might be saved. Jesus told the apostles before he left, the last day he was planted on planet Earth, he said, now, don't you go anywhere but to Jerusalem and wait until my Father baptizes you with the Holy Spirit, which will guide you into all truth and bring everything I've ever taught you to your remembrance. They followed his instruction in your Bible. Chapter 1, went to Jerusalem. Chapter 2, it opens with the apostles, 12 apostles. Because they chose Matthias to take Judas's place. Did I get it right? To take Judas's place. So now they got 12 again. So 12 apostles. Chapter 2, verse 1. When their Pentecost was fully come, they were all together in one place. Put your eyeballs on it. Acts chapter 1. And I'll be through here in a few minutes. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And then, you got that? And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias to take Judas's place. Now we come to chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, a Jewish holiday, so that Jerusalem is full of Jews from all different parts of the world at that time. They were all with one accord in one place. That was in the upper room. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind that filled all the house where they were sitting, the apostles and some other people who were members, who were followers of Jesus Christ. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, that the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad about these men doing all of this, now when this was not, verse 6, noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Isn't that something? And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our own tongue. That's what the crowd is saying. We hear them speak in our own tongue the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mock and saying, They drunk, full of new wine. That's when Peter stepped forth. In verse 15, these are not drunken as you suppose, because Jesus had told Peter that he would be the one to preach the first gospel sermon on planet Earth. And now he becomes the one speaker. And he preaches from verse 15. Let's see, what does he start preaching? Let's see. Oh, yes, verse 15. And it goes all the way down. Peter is preaching. And then when he gets, watch this, when he gets about to verse 36, I believe it is, there he says, Therefore, after all that he has told them, he says, Therefore, let all the house of Israel know certainly or assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you all crucified, both Lord and Christ. When that crowd heard this, they were pricked or shocked in their heart. Said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Did you get that? What shall we do? Now is the time, if they're ever supposed to be told, all these people hearing the word of God, thousands of folks hearing it, asking the question, what shall we do? If prayer has anything to be... If prayer has anything to do with being saved, now is the time for Peter to tell them. What shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Pray and ask God to forgive you of your sins. Is that in your Bible? Mine either. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all those that are far off, even as many as our Lord God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward or from this wicked generation. Then they, not everyone, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Isn't that a congregation? What a congregation. Drop down to the last verse, and the lesson will be yours. The last verse in the chapter. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord did what? Amen. You see, you can't join the Church of Christ. Can't join the Church of Christ. You follow instructions, and God adds you to the church of Christ. And the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved or such as should be saved. Book, chapter, verse. Are you going to be able to do that at the judgment? You won't have time to do all of that. God will know ahead of time. Make your calling and election sure. Don't support what you can't read. And don't do what you can't read and believe that you're saved. Prayer has nothing to do. There's not one person in the New Testament that was saved because they prayed. no apostle, of the 12 apostles, not one of them told anyone at any time to pray that you might be saved and God adopts you as your son or your daughter. Please, don't get angry. Get right with God. I have not preached brown gospel. I'll preach God's gospel. You can read it in your Bible. Jesus told his apostles, after he rose from the grave, he says, you preach whatsoever I have commanded. And if he haven't commanded it, don't believe it. Don't accept it. The trust is yours. Make a choice that will please God if you plan to go to God's heaven. May God bless you to make a wise choice. For those of you who are already in the body, but you walked contrary to the will of God, come on home this morning. Renew your covenant by asking the church to pray for you for your forgiveness if your sin has been opened. The choice is yours as we together stand and sing the song that's been selected.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power.
Yes, there is.
Power in the blood.
Yes.
Would you worry all of victory when there's wonderful power in the world? There is power.